From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Randall White in for Beth Ruyak today. Governor Gavin Newsom introduced his proposed California budget yesterday in Sacramento. I spoke with Cap Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief Ben Adler a couple of hours after that presentation and began the conversation by asking Ben whether the press conference went a bit longer than normal.
The previous governor would go maybe 20, 25 minutes or so and then duck out and let his director of finance take questions. Today, Governor Newsom gave an opening statement that approached an hour and took questions for essentially another hour as well. By the time his finance director was ready to talk, none of us were ready to listen. But Newsom even hinted at this as he stepped onto the stage.
I, unlike the previous administration, may spend a little bit more time on this than you want. So just warning you, full disclosure, this is something I really enjoy. And so I'm going to not take my time, but I want to do justice to the magnitude of the decisions that we are presenting in this budget, because, I know it's rote and cliche to say it's a reflection of our values, but it is a reflection of our values. It is demonstrable that these dollars attach to real people and real people's lives.
And Ben, if we thought this was long, it'll only be longer in subsequent years.
Please don't say that. I don't really want to think about that right now. It is also worth noting that Governor Newsom, instead of holding his news conference for the budget release in the state capitol press conference room, as Brown did in the past, he held it at the Secretary of State's auditorium, and there was a crowd in attendance as well. So differences in style and, as we can now begin talking about, differences of substance.
Well, I guess it took a long time because it's a pretty long wish list, but it's all based on the state having some pretty strong revenue streams.
A $21 billion with a B dollar projected surplus, according to Governor Newsom. That is larger than the roughly $15 billion surplus that the nonpartisan legislative analyst's office projected in November. In coming days, the LAO will weigh in and say whether they agree with this particular $21 billion projection surplus or not. We will see. But yeah, so it really does allow Gavin Newsom to use another cliche, have his cake and eat it too. He is able to set aside significant dollars in savings, $13.6 billion in shoring up the foundation. That's a mix of paying down debt, of putting money into pension systems, basically prepaying some of the to address the retiree health care and pension unfunded liabilities, and putting more money than constitutionally required into the state's rainy day fund. And then he's also able to do a lot of extra new investments.
And he's able to do that new spending and new saving because it's the good times, right? And you asked him about that.
Yeah, I asked him, look, because the economy is doing so well and because Governor Brown and previous legislatures have made certain budget decisions that have helped in combination, in totality, get the state to this point, do you feel lucky?
This is the good times. But the key in a progressive tax system with the volatility that we experience that needs to be addressed, but will not be a short-term endeavor, is to stack away as much money as you can and pay down as much debt as you can. And I hope you see that reflects that in that previous chart on the issue of these four buckets on the $4.8 billion and the $4 billion reflects that as well. So I am extraordinarily blessed. And, this is not naive. You pinch yourself at times like this because the likelihood of ever experiencing this again is very slim.
Now, Ben, while the state is doing well, State Controller Betty Yee announced in the middle of the governor's press conference, no less, that revenues came in nearly $5 billion below projections.
For the month of December, yes. And that is a month where the stock market had more than its fair share of tumbles. California does have a very volatile tax structure, a very progressive tax structure. When the rich do well, the state gets a lot of money. When the stock market does not do as well, the state gets much less money. And so perhaps the stock market being involved partially, and also December is a big month for income tax payments, and so there may be some perceived weakness on that. So it is a warning sign, and Newsom did allude repeatedly to warning signs, which is why he says he is investing so much in some savings.
One potential revenue generator would be to initiate an individual mandate for healthcare, much like what we had under the original version of the Affordable Care Act. What are his projections there?
So he is projecting that creating a state individual mandate for obtaining health insurance, as was previously required under the Affordable Care Act until President Trump and the then Republican Congress repealed it as part of the federal tax overhaul in December of 2017, would bring in about $500 million with an M dollars a year, half a billion a year. And he would take that money and he would put it into covered California subsidies. Again, we're talking about subsidies on the individual marketplace for folks who struggle to afford health insurance. So he would increase subsidies for people earning between 250% and 400% of the federal poverty level, and he would create new subsidies where none currently exist for people earning between 400 and 600% of the federal poverty level. The thinking there being that if you require folks to get insurance and then folks who choose not to get insurance pay the penalty instead, you take that money and you increase the subsidies to make it more affordable for people to get insurance. So it's kind of, I don't know if it's quite a chicken and egg. I don't know if that's the right metaphor. I'm still processing a two-hour press conference, but the two are tied at the hip.
Is the individual mandate something that he could get passed by the legislature?
It's a good question. First of all, there is a debate over whether it would require a two-thirds vote because it has been considered a tax by Chief Justice John Roberts in the U.S. Supreme Court, or if it would be a penalty, as Governor Newsom said he believes, and therefore only require a majority vote. The Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association told me yesterday they believe it's a tax. They believe it would take a two-thirds vote. Then the question is whether it is politically feasible. There are several proposals for new revenue that Newsom is talking about. This is one of them. He's also talking about a 911 fee, a water drinking fee. And these are all separate proposals, discrete proposals that have many supporters in and of themselves and folks who feel they're necessary for various reasons. And I think I'm missing one. He did talk about potentially a payroll tax expansion to pay for his expansion of paid family leave, but he said that was one idea and only one, and he wasn't necessarily saying that's the right idea. But those are all tough votes, maybe not for people who represent San Francisco, like where Gavin Newsom is from, but for people, Democrats who represent the Central Valley or the Inland Empire or Orange County, which has long been represented by Republicans. And so I think it remains to be seen if those, all of those, any of those proposals are palatable.
Ben, you know, through my reporting, I closely followed State Senator Scott Wiener's Bill 827, which didn't even make it out of its first committee hearing.
Listeners
last
don't
year.
Know this, but it's tattooed across your forehead.
Practically, right? Well, now it has some tweaks, and it's titled SB 50. It pushes to increase housing near transit stops. The governor stated at the budget unveiling, we don't have the sound on this, so I'll just say it here, transportation is housing, and housing is transportation. It sounds like Senator Wiener has a friend in Governor Newsom on this topic.
Well, he was asked specifically about the Wiener bill, and he said, look, it's gone through some changes from last year to this year. I thought the idea was a good one last year, but he didn't necessarily specifically support the exact bill last year. He says he believes it's been changed potentially for the better. He mentioned that Eric Garcetti, the Los Angeles mayor, now supports it when he doesn't in the past or spoke favorably of it this year. So he wants to take a look. He hasn't yet. He doesn't have a clear position on it yet. He is realizing that many governors choose not to comment on pending legislation so they can, you know, negotiate it in private with lawmakers. And we are early in the legislative cycle. But they are, you know, to your point, sounding similar themes about the need to get governments, local governments, to meet their housing goals and to build in intelligent ways. And he's even hinting that he might try to do a carrot and stick approach to state funding, not just for housing, but also transportation. Because as you said, transportation is housing, housing is transportation, and potentially gas tax revenues for road repairs that voters protected last year by rejecting Proposition 6, the repeal effort on that. Well, some of those might be clawed back, I guess, by the state if Gavin Newsom gets his way, if local governments don't meet their housing goals.
Literally pulling SB1 funds from municipalities that don't build the number of homes that they need to.
That appears to be what he's talking about. It is early and we don't have specific language on it, but it's certainly a topic of conversation, sure to get local government attention.
Right. Leading up to the budget unveiling, we heard a lot of talk about a focus being on education. We spoke with State Superintendent of Public Instruction Thursday on Insight, and Tony Thurman seemed optimistic about what the governor would propose for education. And for the most part, he was probably right to feel that way. From preschool on up through college, there would be increased money in this budget, right?
Yes. Significant investments for the UC and CSU, twice as much in some case for the UC over what Jerry Brown has been proposing, and roughly, not exactly, and approaching three times what Jerry Brown had wanted at times for the CSU from year to year. And that's just ongoing funding, and then separately some deferred maintenance one-time appropriations being proposed as well. Only, however, if tuition remains frozen. And then there are proposals for a second free year of community college. That is relatively inexpensive, just $40 million with an M dollars for the second year. The first year was implemented last year of free tuition at community colleges, and that had a price tag, I believe, of $46 million. So it's a very inexpensive campaign promise for Gavin Newsom to keep. Of course, he's going to go ahead and keep it. And then in addition to big investments in K through 12, which are required under the Proposition 98, you also have big investments in early childhood education. He's going to try to create universal preschool for four-year-olds. He's going to try to do that over a span of a few years. He wants to create full-day kindergarten because some families do not enroll in kindergarten because it's only half day and they need child care the rest of the day, and a variety of other proposals as well.
Governor Newsom wants to drastically change the juvenile justice system. What's his plan to do that?
Wants to move it into the Department of Health and Human Services. In other words, instead of treating it as a corrective process, treat it as a rehabilitative process. So that is going to be a pretty big debate in and of itself, separate from the budget, even if it is included in the budget. And it remains to be seen what kind of support that is going to have.
He addressed the federal government's partial shutdown, saying the state can help immediately with furloughed workers.
He did. He said that he wants furloughed workers, if they do not get their paychecks, to come into the state's Employment Development Department, which offers the, you know, the unemployment aid for people who are laid off. Newsom says they can get their money that way. I asked, well, hey, what happens if the federal government, as it frequently has done after past government shutdowns, back pays workers? Because in that case, you'd be getting paid twice if you're a federal worker,
right?
Once from the state, once from the feds. He said, we're cognizant of that. We're trying to figure out how to make that work. But it almost feels like the state would be advancing money that the worker, the federal worker, would have to pay back to the state. It seems like it could be a complicated process, and I'm not quite sure how it would all play out. But the fact remains, Governor Newsom says, if you are a federal worker, if you are furloughed, you should seek unemployment aid from the state.
Ben, how have the Republican minority responded to this budget?
And they are a super minority, or even a giga minority. They only represent roughly a quarter of the seats in the legislature, not nearly enough to block a two-thirds tax increase if all Democrats vote for it, which is not in any way a given, nor is there currently a broad-based tax increase of any kind proposed, I should say. But Republicans had mixed words. They are concerned about the growth of spending, but some of what's being proposed they like. I had the top Assembly Republican on the Budget Committee tell me, look, we really like the child care investments. That's a bipartisan issue. We think that's on the right track, and many of us were looking forward to that proposal from this new governor. They raised some concerns about Medi-Cal, expanding it to undocumented young adults, not just because of the immigration issue, which is, of course, a big issue for Republicans, but also because current existing Medi-Cal patients have a very hard time getting service in some cases because the reimbursement rates are low and doctors are hard to see. There aren't as many doctors who will see Medi-Cal patients. So their concern is you're expanding it to serve more people. You also need to make sure that there are more doctors who are able to see these people. So that's a concern that Republicans have as well.
And I imagine, as in years past, they're supportive of the Rainy Day Fund.
Yes, certainly they're supportive of that. And they're cognizant of all the warnings that Governor Brown and now Governor Newsom are saying as well, as are Democrats. I mean, it's worth saying that nobody wants to go back and make a whole bunch more cuts that had to be done in the recession. I mean, at times the budget deficit was $42 billion at its trough, I guess you might say, under Governor Schwarzenegger. And so nobody wants to go to that point. And the question is how best to prepare for it while balancing what the political and policy goals are of the Democrats who control this state.
So much more to get to in this massive budget. And of course, we'll report that out in the days and weeks to come. And Ben, this really is just the start of a very long process.
Very long process. It will not wrap up until mid-June or even late June, mid-June being the legislature's constitutional deadline to pass a budget. And the governor would need to sign it within 12 days after June 15th. But technically, it needs to be signed by July 1st. So we're looking at many, many months. But what you have in this situation is a legislature and a governor much more aligned at the start of the budget process, it seems, than Governor Brown and lawmakers were in the past. They always got there in the end, did Brown and lawmakers, but it was a bit more of a journey. This time, many goals of lawmakers, failed goals from previous years that Brown was not willing to fund, are reflected in Newsom's opening proposal. And this is just January. He'll, of course, have the May revise updated budget proposal, which will more accurately reflect revenues for the coming fiscal year. So we'll see what happens in the economy between now and then. Does it continue to keep going up, or are some of these warning signs turning into some pitfalls and potentially the opening indicators of a recession? So a long way to go.
Ben Adler, Cap Radio's Capital Bureau Chief, thank you so much for your reporting on this. And I know it was a long day.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Randall.
And of course, we'll have much more on the budget from Ben on our website at capradio.org/insight. Happy to have you with us on this Friday. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. It's your NPR station.